Radio Prague News. Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek has shocked politicians and economists by saying that there was no urgent need for a pension reform in the Czech Republic. Libya has recalled two of its diplomats to Prague, whose sons were accused of raping a 10-year-old boy. And Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek has challenged the president to do a number of one-on-one radio and TV debates with him on the European Union. Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek has shocked politicians and economists by saying that there was no urgent need for a pension reform in the Czech Republic. In an interview for the Bloomberg agency published online, the Prime Minister said that the current pension system would not overburden the state budget for another 20 years and that the increasing birth rate would further improve the situation. There is no urgency for reform in this sphere, Mr. Paroubek said, sweeping aside EU warnings regarding the need to speed up reforms of the pension and healthcare systems. The head of one of the smaller governing parties, Miroslav Kalousek of the Christian Democrats, has said that dallying with the pension reform would be irresponsible. Libya has recalled two of its diplomats to Prague, whose sons were accused of raping a 10-year-old boy. The Czech Foreign Ministry said it had urged Libya to take this course of action on the grounds of the Vienna Convention on Diplomatic Relations. Three Libyan boys, all aged 13, recently assaulted two 10-year-old Czech boys at a playground. One of the boys was allegedly raped, the other managed to resist the assault. A spokeswoman for the Prague police has confirmed that a rape investigation took place, but said the matter was dropped because of the suspect's ages. Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek has challenged President Václav Klaus to do a number of one-on-one radio and TV debates with him on the European Union. In an interview for the Frekvence 1 radio program, the Social Democrat Prime Minister, who is pro-EU integration, said he and the President, who is strongly critical of the direction in which the EU is heading, should put their arguments to the nation in a language that people could understand. Debates at closed meetings or articles in the media do not have the desired impact, Mr. Paroubek said. The daily Lidové Noviny recently published a lengthy article in which President Klaus presented his vision of a future Europe, an organization of European states benefiting from free trade but not restricted in their sovereignty. Britain's Prince Edward, who is on a two-day goodwill visit to the Czech Republic, on Tuesday handed out awards at the British Embassy to the Czech winners of the Duke of Edinburgh Youth Programme. On Monday, the Prince visited the Royal Golf Club in the spa town of Mariánské Lázně, also known as Marienbad, a club that his great-great-grandfather, King Edward VII, opened exactly a century ago. Czech rider Ondřej Sosenka set a new world one-hour cycling record at the Krylatskoye Olympic indoor track in Moscow on Tuesday. 29-year-old Sosenka set a distance of 49,700 kilometres, beating British cyclist Chris Boardman's previous record of 49,441 kilometres, which he achieved in Manchester, England, in 2000. I'm Pavla Horáková, and that's the end of the news.
You're tuned to Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Coming up, the Czech authorities want tighter anti-terrorism measures, but what exactly do they have in mind? Britain's Prince Edward gives out special prizes in Prague, while it's also awards time for Czech design students. And a new world one-hour cycling record is set by a Czech rider in Moscow. Do stay with us. In the wake of the London bombings, the Czech National Security Council has recommended strong new measures to deal with the potential threat of terrorist attacks. Interior Minister František Bublan told reporters if the Czech authorities failed to act, the country could become what he described as a logistics base for terrorist operations. Rob Cameron has been following the story. Rob, what exactly has the National Security Council been recommending?
Well, Ian, there are four recommendations in particular. Number one would be blocking mobile phone networks. If police, for instance, believe that Prague face an imminent threat of a bomb being detonated by a mobile phone, they would have the power to shut down the country's three mobile networks. Also, they would have access to those networks' databases of calls and SMS text messages. The second thing is to loosen banking secrecy laws, meaning police would have easier access to bank accounts if there was suspicion that those accounts were being used to fund terrorist activities. Police police would also have the right to bug people's phones without the prior approval of the state prosecutor if they suspected those phones were being used to plan a terrorist attack, although they would be required to obtain approval afterwards. And private companies would be required to give police information if it was linked to suspected terrorist activities.
So quite far-reaching powers there. But what we're talking about now is basically, it's actually only recommendations.
Exactly. These are simply recommendations drawn up by the Interior Minister, František Bublan, discussed by the National Security Council and passed on to the Cabinet. And the Cabinet must then decide whether to approve them. And only after that would they be submitted to Parliament. And it could be a very lengthy process. So by no means are these measures about to come into force tomorrow.
So early days then, but how likely do you think it is that they will be introduced?
Fairly likely. If the Cabinet approves them, the likelihood is quite high because they will probably be supported in Parliament by the largest opposition party, the Civic Democrats, some of whose members have called for security to be increased.
And finally, Rob, how do these measures compare to anti-terrorist legislation in other countries in Europe?
Well, very similar. Across the European Union, governments are considering beefing up security in the wake of the spate of terrorist attacks, most recently, of course, on London.
Britain's Prince Edward was in Prague on Tuesday on the second day of a two-day visit to the Czech Republic. At the capital's British embassy, the prince met a varied group of young Czech achievers, presenting them with special awards on behalf of his father, Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh. Martin Mikula was at the ceremony and prepared the following report.
The main purpose of the visit was to promote the ED Awards, and that is the International Duke of Edinburgh Award Scheme. It's known in the Czech Republic as ED. And to encourage the young people here who've been undertaking the programme and to raise funds to ensure the programme can continue in the future.
Says the British Ambassador Linda Duffield. In Prague, in the sunny garden of the British Embassy, the winners of this year's Duke of Edinburgh, or Eddie Awards, had the chance to receive the awards from Prince Edward himself.
I hope that you can now take the time to look back at what you've achieved over the last months or years in achieving these awards and feel that it's all worthwhile now you've got to the end of your particular stage of your award.
Klára Obadalová from the town of Poděbrady achieved the highest level, the Golden Diploma, and was chosen to participate in an international meeting of EDI winners in Hong Kong.
It took me time for 3 years, and it means that I had to cover all four categories, which is sport, skills, expedition, and for me the most important is the service, which means that I worked as a volunteer for some time.
Part of the award is that you won a trip to Hong Kong. What does this trip involve?
Actually, it's an international meeting of the YAS who hold Golden Award, and it will be 2 weeks. We will solve some problems, for example, how EDI can help in Africa or in some poor countries, or to do something really good.
The EDI program was established by Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, in 1956 to support the personality development and leisure time activities of young people. Since then, almost 5 million people from 100 countries have taken part. According to Pavel Zálezský from the EDI program in the Czech Republic, the scheme was established here 12 years ago.
Till now we have hundreds of participants which had absolved it successfully. Every participant has own choice what he or she would do. There are straight rules, like everyone must have some sport, some practical skills. Everyone must undertake expedition with the others, and everyone must done some service in favor of local community or something like that. That means that everyone is not developing only physically, but also in the area of skills, in the area of responsibility about yourself, but also about the responsibility about the society around.
Now, for 15 years, Prague's prestigious Design Centrum has been recognizing excellence in Czech design, presenting awards for innovation and skill. This year, for the first time, the student category has its own national prize. And from the Design Centrum, here's Zbigniew Vokro-Hlicky.
Frankly speaking, we are looking for new talents. the future, you know, belongs to the young people. And that is why, you know, we have organized new competition to have the possibility to show that they are already now capable, you know, to work for industry. And we have examples already from this competition, one or two works of students is being produced.
Well, Jan Wellinger was at the award ceremony on Tuesday and joins us now. Jan, what are some of the items that visitors can see at the show of students?
Well, Ian, exhibits include samples of design in just about every conceivable category, from typography and logos to the design of living space, jewellery and fashion. But this year's big hit, the national prize winner, was an upholstered seat created by university student Jan Štvrtinicek. And it's a comfy-looking chair with a slight retro 50s or early 60s look that will actually go into production. Its claim to fame is a cool-looking X right through the center of the frame. And the actual frame is soft, black and white, on metal legs. And furniture overall is the big attraction, so Zbigniew Krolicki says.
Exactly this I had in mind, the works of students dealing with furniture. The situation in furniture industry is very difficult in Czech Republic. Many foreign companies are competing here, you know, so we need new blood.
So new blood needed in Czech furniture. But what about other items in the show?
Well, another striking design is original park seating awarded, and that was in a runner-up category, seating by a student who is attending university in the South Moravian city of Zlín. Her name is Dagmar Moranjova, and she came up with an exciting solution, lean-back furniture in punchy red or pure white, and that's in steel. And it has cut-in shapes reminiscent of Matisse's cutouts in different patterns throughout the frame. And here's what she told us on the day.
First, I wanted to do some extra seats. That's why I chose this material, this steel, which is good for using outside. And I wanted to use this kind of material and this type of technology to use laser to make this decor and this design of it more light and looks much nicer with it. I didn't think about Matisse or any other artist, so this is just my way of thinking and my style, and that's what I feel.
And in general, are Czech design students optimistic that after they graduate, they'll get jobs in the design field?
I have to say I think that they are. Work like the main winners, or Ms. Moranjova's, has already attracted attention, and as well as another display, which was for disabled people, a kind of a barrier-free kitchen. So designers basically have to find a balance between design and practicality. And that was much in evidence. So I think there is good reason to be optimistic. The only thing Ms. Moranjeva told us was that a bit of confidence was perhaps still missing. They needed a touch more resilience to break through.
I think it's coming to be much better. Czech designers are very good, but we have to be more proud of ourselves.
And you can find out more about that exhibition at www.designcentrum.cz. And just a reminder, you're listening to Radio Prague, where now we have news of a Czech world record on a
bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle, bicycle.
Yes, Czech cyclist Andrej Sosenka has set a new world one-hour cycling record, riding an amazing 49.7 kilometers in 60 minutes. The previous record of 49,441 meters was set 5 years ago by Britain's Chris Boardman. And the setting for Sosenka's triumph was Moscow's Krylatskoye Olympic Velodrome, which has a longer track than most venues, 333 meters as opposed to the usual 250. Perhaps surprisingly, there were only around 40 people in the hall on Tuesday, something the 29-year-old time trial specialist says actually helped him. The conditions were right, and from the very outset, he was under the record. And here's Andrej Sosenka himself.
It was an advantage that I was informed of the time in a really detailed way. I went into the event thinking about just one thing, that I had to fight hard for that record, and from the very start I was a bit ahead of the record time. Then after around 10 minutes I conserved energy a bit and just stayed at that time. Then the last 10-15 minutes were really hard, and on some laps I lost a little. But in the end I beat the record by a couple of hundred meters. But it was really hard.
And he cut it tight, equaling Chris Boardman's distance just 19 seconds before the grueling hour was up. Sosenka was 300 meters short of the magical 50-kilometer mark. He says he will try and reach it, perhaps in a year's time. One interesting thing is that Andrei Sosenka has set what's called the athlete's hour record, in which cyclists have to use the same kind of technology used by the great Belgian rider Eddy Merckx back in 1972, when he set a record of 49,431 metres. There's also something called the absolute hour record, in which special aerodynamic bicycles and clothing are permitted. So we'll be looking forward perhaps to a new record from Andrei Sosenka in the future. But for now, it's time for a portrait of film director Wojciech Jasny in this edition of Czechs Today by Martin Mikula.
One of the symbols of the success of Czech cinema in the 60s is the film director Wojciech Jasny. His best known work from that time is called All My Good Countrymen, Všichni dobří rodáci in Czech. The film tells the story of a few friends living in a Moravian village in the 1950s. In a gentle way, it explores the human spirit in the backdrop of dramatic political changes of those times. Czech villages and relationships among their inhabitants were badly affected by the process of forced collectivization of farms. Wojciech Jasny's film is very critical of these events, and it could not have been possible if it had not been made at the time of political relaxation during the Prague Spring in 1968. However, the film did not stay in Czech cinemas for long. After Soviet troops invaded Czechoslovakia and hardline communists replaced the liberally oriented, the film was banned. Since Wojciech Jasny would not be allowed to shoot any other films unless they supported the regime, he decided to leave the country. But Wojciech Jasny was not always so critical of the regime. As a young film school student, he shot a few films which sang the praises of the emerging communist system. One of them was Báječná léta, The Extraordinary Years, a documentary which he made in 1952 with another director who later became a Czech film legend, Karel Kachyňa. In the spirit of the time, this propaganda film praises collectivization and denounces its opponents. Film director and Czech TV producer Pavel Tausik was fascinated by this contradiction and decided to shoot a TV documentary called Return to the Extraordinary Years.
The idea was to go along with Wojciech Jasny to this tiny village where, in the 1950s, as a young communist-oriented filmmaker, he shot a film which presented itself as an objective documentary, describing the creation of an agricultural cooperative. The film is very typical for its time. It is a sort of propagandistic picture with a good deal of lies and falsehoods, which denounces two farmers' families. My documentary, in a way, revisits the past. We see Wojciech Jasny searching his own conscience.
Wojciech Jasny admits that he naively believed in the ideals of communism, but he says that even then he hadn't intended to lie.
The Central Committee of the party was very interested in this film, and then they told us what must be there. There must be Stalin, there must be Gottwald, and this and this. And without that, no film. So I said to my colleague Kachyňa, we filmed these people, and what is good will remain. Pity that we didn't shoot that in sound, because it was manipulated by this commentary.
He says that, like so many others, he was naive at that time and really believed that communism was a good thing. Shortly afterwards, Jasny, as an officially approved prominent film director, got the chance to work in China. It was his experiences of working and traveling to other communist countries that gradually changed his political views.
I decided when I came from Soviet Union and China that I will never more make dogmatic or stupid film, and I promised to myself with everything, and I found this courage. You believe that socialism is good, and in Soviet Union I have seen they murder people. I talked to Polish people, they were brought to Siberia there. I was in Siberia, I have seen they blocked our cameras, we could not shoot in Soviet Union, nothing. And I have seen it's everything cheetah, there is a terror like Nazis. I stopped to believe in this stupidity, and I decided we will make our Czechoslovak socialism, if we can, that we will do it humanly and properly, like Christianity.
Tak, abychom začali po pořádku. To jsou ogaři vdovy po řezníku Machačovi, který se zabil na motorce, když zapíjel koupi vola a žebřiňák trčel...
Vojtěch Jasný's most successful film, The Countryman, as he refers to it, tells the true story of people he knew from the rural area he came from. His foreign experience helped him see the realities behind collectivization.
Because I am from a little town, Kelch, and I shot it in Bystre, the great experience was when I came from China in 52 to it to understand. František Slimáček, the hero of the Countryman, he's a chief part, played by very good actor Brzo Bohatý. He was sent to prison, and he escaped from prison in these uniforms. They let them work with pneumonia and die with water on lungs like in Countrymen. And he came home, and at the same time I came from China, visited my mother. And I have seen they are killing my best friend. I have to save him. So I did what I could because I talked to people to help him, and then they let him not to go back to prison but stay home and be healed, and he remained home. If we would not do it, he would be dead.
Vojtěch Jasný left the country at the beginning of the 70s after the Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia. First he shot films in Austria, Germany, Yugoslavia and other European countries. Now he's been living in the United States for more than 20 years, where he has taught at the film department of Columbia University in New York. Even though he is almost 80 today, he's still very fresh and keeps working.
I worked for many years with Arnold Lustig on Very Free, inspired by his novel The Unloved. And then after 7 drafts, I started to work again on it now when I worked for Spielberg on Hell on Earth, this documentary horror with Hart. And I have seen materials, they were not in the screenplay and not in his book, because he was a young boy in Theresienstadt. This resistance, in spiritual resistance with art, poetry. So I put there these boys, they made a magazine, Vedem, these young boys. And Mr. Ludwig, who is in the novel of Lustig, I made him the mastermind of this resistance in Theresienstadt.
Vojtěch Jasný's life was marked by turbulent political events. His father died in Auschwitz in 1942, and the young Jasný decided to join the anti-Nazi resistance working for the British intelligence service. This is also reflected in his later work.
His Luftwaffe captain, who is written as Dreams, I made Mr. Ludwig, who is in the novel of Lustig, I made him real, founding in a very good book, German book, Schattenmann, written by a girl. She was in resistance in Berlin. It's a great story. So I made him, he is working with Canaries to kill Hitler, works for British intelligence as I worked in my wartime, and I put my experience as a British spy into my story.
Vojtěch Jasný was not the only Czech artist who supported the regime in the 50s. Many young filmmakers, writers and poets believed that communism was a good idea, a way of rejecting the horrors of Nazism forever. In the face of the horrific realities of Stalinism, most of them changed their views in the 60s and sought ways of dealing with their experiences of the 50s. Vojtěch Jasný's greatest films did so with exceptional sophistication and art.
Za Beneše, za Stalina, za Beneše, za Stalina. pohodu zdejme.
And that edition of Czechs Today brings us to the end of today's program here on Radio Prague. If you have any comments or queries, don't hesitate to contact us. You can write us a letter to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2, or send an email to english@radio.cz. But for now, from me, Ian Willoughby, and all my colleagues here in Prague, thanks for listening, goodbye, and take care.